Welcome back. 8 o'clock hour. Man, it's flying by, man. Jay Binkley, Jacob Mustard producing the operation. 2 Oak Park Northmen, if you care. Which I'm sure the Oak Park people would.
What class were you?
I was a lot earlier than you. But, you know, I'm sure the Oak Park people would care. Or if you're just a proud North Kansas City School District fan, you know. But we're local.
Oh, yeah. I'm really local. Been here my whole 20, almost 4 years.
Man, proud Oak Park Northman, man. There's a couple of us around here. 2 or 3 of them. I don't know if you met Ken yet, but he's an Oak Park guy, too. Do you know what's coming out on August 14th?
No clue.
Well, you're not going to want to watch it because you have other interests and teams. But the Chiefs Kingdom show, it's not a local thing, not a YouTube thing, not anything else. It'll be on ESPN. It's a docuseries of the 2024 Chiefs. And there was cameras, you know, behind the scenes with the Chiefs the whole year. You know, they talk about the Chiefs' history and everything. Chiefs fans are going to eat it up because it's, you know, talks about the legacy, the history of the team, this kind of dynasty they've been on. Not kind of, but this dynasty they've been on. And I get it. The ending, you already know the ending. It's like the Titanic, right? You know the Titanic sank, but you still watched it. Like, seriously, that movie did well, right? The DiCaprio won that one, right? You knew the boat was going to sink. But yet we still watched it, even though you know the ending. Damn boat's going to sink. But we still watch it. Well, you know what's going to happen at the end of this series? It's the Super Bowl. And it's got everybody, you know, pissed off. And people didn't watch sports for a couple months afterwards. We did because, well, that's what we do. We had to do it. So you listen to what everybody's saying. It drives you nuts. But, you know, we did it. So I get it, man. I get it. That's your, you know, the way you were sitting. Because I think it did bother fans. Now, you know, the players were bothered by it, losing that game. But it bothered fans. You know, back and forth with Eagles fans and whatnot. And yeah, I mean, Chiefs fans just get all mad about it. And I get it, man. I totally get it. But the 2024 Chiefs, they're doing the series. They're going to do 2 episodes one night. Then the following week, they'll do 2 more. The following week, 2 more. But it's, you can binge it. I think you can binge the whole thing at one time if you want. It's going to be good. It's going to be good. And this is going to be a constant reminder for the Chiefs, you know, like their players. I mean, it's already a different attitude up there in camp. It was a different attitude in OTAs. It was like, all right, let's push this game behind us. They acknowledged it. You know, let's go. Because last year was about, can you three-peat? That was, and they acknowledged it and talked about it because anybody was going to ask questions, they'd answer it and say, sure. Well, now the Chiefs' downfall, the way they play, the line, blah, 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 are the Chiefs done? That's been the big question. Are the Chiefs done? They don't think so, and we shouldn't think so either. Matter of fact, there's a man that won an MVP in Buffalo named Josh Allen who wished that he could have gone and at least lost the Super Bowl because he hasn't sniffed the Super Bowl. Joe Burrow in Cincinnati went to Super Bowl and lost. So he kind of knows how it feels. Lamar Jackson's never been. He had 3 playoff wins, never been to the Super Bowl. Chiefs are still AFC champions. I mean, I loved it when they gave the rings out there during mandatory minicamp, the AFC championship rings, and Mahomes kind of jokes saying he put that on top of the safe. Or I get it, man. You know, put it, I'm sure it's all in a safe or whatever, but kind of that joke, like, you don't value these like the Super Bowl ring. I remember Kelsey after that Super Bowl loss to the Buccaneers. They said, do you consider this season a success? And he said, no. And I'm with him on that. You like the Patriots, Jacob. You know, just going to the Super Bowl and losing to the Giants, that made you mad. Going undefeated and losing the Giants to Eli Manning again. I mean, he lost 2 Super Bowls to Eli Manning. That stung, even though you got there.
Yeah, the undefeated one was first. The second one was just embarrassing.
Yeah, that was that defense, it first one. Yeah, but you get there and you lose to Eli twice and it sucked. And it didn't seem like a successful season because the ending wasn't how you wanted it. But we all know the ending. But it's going to be fun watching the progression. The Chiefs actually do a nice show during the week, their own production. I think it's better than Hard Knocks that they put out each and every week on YouTube. It's very good. But this Kingdom is interesting. And the one thing is, even if the players don't watch it, which I'm sure they'll be interested in it because it's kind of behind the scenes with them, but their phones will be blowing up about it. You know, people will be talking about it It'll make the circuit on the talk shows around the country about, oh, it was the Chiefs' downfall. And they're going to be constantly reminded of that. And to me, that's a good thing for the Chiefs because, you know, you put the Super Bowl in the rearview mirror and you go, you know, it's new season coming up. And then, boom, in August, here's a reminder once again that you had a great season and you lost to the Philadelphia Eagles in the Super Bowl. And it'll be coming up, man, because it's not like it's buried. It's on ESPN. So it's not going to be buried anywhere as far as that. People are going to be watching it. And they're going to be interested in it. And they're going to be reminded. You know, Mahomes goes and gets a new haircut this year. You know, it's a new attitude. He's cut down the way less commercials. He and Kelsey cut him down. And I don't know if it's up by design. I mean, you'll see some more. I'm sure some State Farm commercials will roll out. I think he was filming those. But they've cut back on a lot of stuff. If you didn't notice, Mahomes didn't play in the American Century Golf Classic for the last 2 years. He of playing in the match, although the two times in the match, he's not played in the American Century for 2 years. And he likes golf. I don't know if it's design, spend more time with his family, whatever. But Kelsey and his brother played in it. But Mahomes hadn't. And he's got this inherent drive. And it's good to see. And that fuel to the fire. Because every time they turn on the TV, someone's picking him third or second or whatever. And I've yet to see the stat I threw out there about Mahomes having 17 postseason wins. All I've seen is Mahomes on his way down? Do we put other quarterbacks ahead of him? ESPN does that poll every year between, not media, but execs, scouts, front office people with NFL teams. He was still number one at 60%, but that's dropped. That's way dropped from where it was, where it's down to 60%. People are doubting it. And he's 29. He's 29 years old. He'll be 30 this season, but, you know, Steve Young built his whole Hall of Fame career in his 30s, didn't have over 3,000 yards passing until in his 30s. Drew Brees won MVP in his 30s. Rodgers won several in his 30s. Tom Brady got good at he's always been good, but he got great at the end of his 30s and in his 40s. He was unbelievable. Mahomes hadn't even hit 30. Dude already second all-time in postseason wins. And people forget that. They forget what drives him. I heard it was last week. Peter Schrager mentioned to me. He was on NFL Network for a long time. He's with ESPN now. He said a couple things that were great. And I loved this about Mahomes' attitude.
We're back here on Get Up, and this is a segment we're calling For Pete's Sake, where I give my thoughts on something going around the NFL. You know, as training camps open, the two lasting images of the last 5 months for the Kansas City Chiefs are the one of the two-time defending Super Bowl champions shuffling off that Superdome field in a sea of green and white confetti after being embarrassed in the Super Bowl by the Philadelphia Eagles. And, well, their quarterback with his shirt off at a party and not exactly looking like a Hemsworth brother. But for all the dad bod jokes and all the memes and all the local sports radio hot takes that came with this image, came something else, and that's more fuel to the fire. See, this is the part of Patrick Mahomes' arsenal that's maybe the most underappreciated and overlooked. This dude is a stone-cold killer, and whether he admits it or not, he sees and he hears everything. So while the rest of the football world was crowning Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson a year ago, it was Mahomes who was watching, listening, and nodding along as he secured home field advantage and marched his team right through the playoffs into his third straight Super Bowl. See, Patrick Mahomes is still the greatest player in the sport, and now he's something even scarier. He's motivated more than ever before. So enjoy the memes and the dad bod jokes in July. I'll be taking Mahomes in January.
Well said. Stone cold killer, because that's what he is. Well, Schrager goes on, because he was on the Pat McAfee show this past week, and he kind of gave kind of a spoiler alert of what happened after the Super Bowl when he talks about Mahomes in the gym. Listen to this, because this is something you'll see on the Kingdom show when it comes out on ESPN next month.
It's crazy. Here's the thing on Mahomes. So you're seeing there's this new documentary on the Chiefs run for three that's going to be on ESPN and Disney Plus. I believe they announced it yesterday. It's going to be on August 14th. I have a friend who worked on that.
Really? That's cool.
And it's going to be amazing. And I saw some sneak peek stuff, but this is the cool story, and I don't think they'd have a problem with me sharing this.
Spoiler!
they lose the Super Bowl, and it's like, you know, walking out of that stadium the way it went. Like, Brett Veach is beside himself. Mahomes is beside himself. Chris Jones is devastated. They have Tuesday morning, Mahomes is in the gym. And Mahomes is working out. Remember, the Super Bowl ends Sunday night at like 1 a.m. And they've got their cameras here for this kingdom, this whole thing, which I think is going to be awesome. And Mahomes is working out that Tuesday morning. And this is the same stuff that you might say, oh, whatever, every player is. This is Michael Jordan last dance stuff. This is when we lose to the Pistons, we get in the gym that morning and we encourage Scottie Pippen to get and follow the lead. We encourage Horace Grant. I just think they are so dialed in, and they had that picture of him at the party with Brittany and there, and he's got a little dad bod and everyone had their fun with that. Like, he reads and hears everything. Mahomes is a killer. I think this is actually the last thing you want to do is start questioning Mahomes' dedication or his fitness and what they have, because truth be told, they got better on the offensive line. They're going to have healthy wide receivers. They added some talent on the defensive side. Like, I don't know, Kansas City, you start questioning them and you start considering how they lost that Super Bowl and how embarrassed they were. I wouldn't be shocked if they come out guns blazing to start the season.
Yeah, I'm pretty pumped to watch this particular team. Like, yeah. Legit. I don't know who's blocking in that whole thing for him. Let's assume Andy Reid will figure that all out. I just have faith in Veach and in Andy Reid. But Patrick Mahomes being the guy that is washed in some people's eyes is a cool little thing. That's a cool little thing for Patrick Mahomes to get to. Oh, is there
something new? Like, what can you do? You have to find ways to motivate yourself. And what's going to motivate me? What's the chip on the shoulder this year? Well, it might as well be everyone taking a crap all over me and my physique. You know, like, whatever it is.
They
whatever
took a
you
crap
can
on it? You're saying, you like, know. Through a hammock?
Figuratively speaking.
Are people not talking to like your cousin?
Yeah, I'm not related to him. Yeah. But I did see that he enjoyed that type of stuff.
So the bottom line is, he mentioned it there too. He's a killer. He's a stone-cold killer. He doesn't care. He hears everything. I mean, I say he hears it, but he hears it. I mean, you'd have to live in a tunnel or a cave if you didn't hear it. I mean, maybe if you didn't hear it, one of your friends heard it, a parent heard it, somebody heard it, and someone's doubting you, it'll add fuel. And the funny thing is, you know, people saying washed and all this. He's 29. And again, look at the great quarterbacks in history. Their best years were in their 30s. Joe Montana took a Chiefs team to the AFC title game in his 30s. Guys get better. They process things better when they get in their 30s. You haven't even seen the best of Mahomes yet. You've seen some damn good, great Mahomes that's going to go to Canton, Ohio, but you haven't seen the best. And the best is yet to come. And they're taking this attitude. And what everybody's saying, and you're processing it, and it's fueling you, and it's fueling them. Like, the last thing you want to do is piss off the Chiefs. How many times have you seen them being the underdog against teams, and they come out and crush them? And they take all the positivity and just shove it. Like the Bills. They have all this positivity all the time when it comes to postseason. I've seen Josh Allen ahead of Mahomes and a whole bunch of these things. He's 0-4. Versus Mahomes in the postseason. Lamar Jackson's combined 1-4 against Mahomes. Yet these guys consistently get put ahead of Patrick. And all he does is make him cry in the fetal position when he's done with them. I mean, Josh Allen isn't saying this. He's public enemy number one. I know they're friends or whatever. Public enemy number one on the football field. You got to pass Mahomes. You got to get past him. And no one wants to do that because you can beat him in the regular season. You can be all happy and giddy and want to throw a parade like the Ravens did or be like the Bills and you beat the Chiefs in the regular season. Everybody's going, oh, the Chiefs done. Or the Chiefs done. Or the Chiefs done. Every show, Chiefs done ad nauseum. Chiefs done. And then they go out and they get to the Super Bowl again. A couple years ago, they were 9-6 on Christmas Day when they lost to the freaking Raiders. And everybody's like, ah, this thing's done, man. This thing's over, man. They're 9-6 now. This thing's done. And then what'd they do? They won the whole damn thing. Doubt them what you want. But they're going to come back, and they're going to make you pay. But I want to talk a little bit more about that. Or in your calls and your reaction next. Hey, welcome back. Jay Binkley, Jacob Mustard, producing the operation. Last year was tough. I mean, you know, Brady, as Jacob and I were talking during the break, you know, Brady won with Deion Branch, won with Trey Brown. He won. Really, that's the only quarterback when you think about, like, not having those dynamic wide receivers that did the most with less was Tom Brady. Because he never won a ring with Randy Moss. As great as Randy Moss was, he was on an undefeated team, but never won a ring with him. But you know, I kept hearing about that. And with Mahomes and the line troubles, not having a left tackle, having to go through a season, not having a number one and two receiver. You're not going to put up those gaudy numbers. And I'll say this, too. With the Chiefs' improved defense, you're probably not going to have as gaudy numbers as you've seen.
Yeah, when Patrick Mahomes,
when he threw for 5,000 yards, that defense was terrible. Again, they scored over 50 points, lost. They scored over 40 points, when they lost. He had to score every time. Now, the other time in his career, he threw for over 5,000 yards. They were 16th in the NFL in points per game against. I mean, they were better, but not great. Like, he's not going to put up, I don't think, 5,000-yard seasons when your defense is this good. There's no need for it. The only reason you put up those gaudy stats usually is when your defense sucks, that you have to go on the field and put up good numbers. Like, I'll give Josh Allen credit because they scored 30 points a game and not a lot of household names on offense, right? Stephon Diggs didn't even play for him last year, right? He still scored 30 points a game. I always look at what you do with less. And I'll say this much, when everybody's doubting things, and again, he's not even 30, man, but doubting's there. Have you ever seen so much doubting on guys? Like, can you imagine Jordan in his heyday? How many times would they have written him off? The 2-3-peats he had. Can you imagine how many times that he would have been written off at some point during the year just because he had an average game or something? Just, he would have been written off with the way social media is now and everything, and everybody want instant gratification. Can you imagine that? Because you would have probably seen it. Like, you would have probably seen that at some point that people would doubt. But I love the fuel, because it is fuel. And it used to anger us and stuff when people would say things, because it's dumb. Now you just chalk it up and say, well, that's dumb. That's stupid. Because you know better. You know better by watching this team each and every week, you know, watching their march through the postseason, seeing what they do in the postseason, having success and actually having wins instead of losses, something that didn't happen a lot. Great regular seasons. You get to the postseason, have a great seed, but you wouldn't win in the postseason. You see, he's 17-4 in the postseason. 17-4. Lamar Jackson, 3-5. It's what you do in the postseason, man. And I brought this up the other day, Jacob. And Murray was like, what are you talking about, man? You think Dan Marino's better than Joe Flacco? Marino's a better quarterback than Joe Flacco. I'll say this. But in the postseason, is he? That's the question. In the postseason, was he? Marino was 8-10 in the postseason. Joe Flacco was 10-6 with a ring. But it is what it is, right? Proof's in the pudding. Is he a better quarterback than Marino? No, I don't think so. Postseason-wise, yeah. Postseason-wise, he was. I don't care what your regular season record is. It only matters in the postseason. Like, seriously, that's what you remember of guys. Did you win a ring or not? Did you carry your team to a championship? And he has. He's already got 3 Super Bowl MVPs. Dude's 29. 17 postseason wins for a starved postseason team. I mean, it's insanity. Just this hot take world we live in, the world we live in with the, you know, tweets of TJ Watt carrying a fan into a dorm. Like, anything is content now. Again, fan in the dorm room, let's put it out. I mean, let's scrutinize a guy when he does win by 10 points. Newsflash, NFL games win a lot by 3 or 7 points. Do you think people are going to really remember the Chiefs winning by a block kick against the Broncos? No, they're going to see a W. In a couple years, see a W. Like, all those close wins that they had, you're not going to care about how they got it, how they got the results. It's going to be about wins and losses. But I doubt you'll even care about that. You'll care about what they did in the postseason. Did they go to the Super Bowl? Did they win? Did we have another freaking parade? You know, because they had a bunch. You've had a bunch in this town. And it's because of the success of the local teams. And here we are in Kansas City that didn't see success. Used to call it the Boulevard of Broken Dreams between Arrowhead and Kauffman. You know, the Royals from 85 and didn't win again until 2015. The Chiefs with Lynn Dawson, 69-70 a year, all the way to 2019. I mean, 21 years without a playoff win. Lean times, man. You got to pinch yourself. But you're in the heyday of it now. You're in the heyday of it now. Andy Reid doesn't sniff coach of the year. Doesn't matter. He's just won it once, by the way. Once. 4th all-time in wins. 2nd postseason wins, won it once. Nobody respects what they do. But everybody in their own job or family or whatever, they've been doubted, and it makes them mad. And pretty much anybody that's had any modicum of success at some point in their life was told that they're going to fail. They're not going to make it, but they took that chance. They took that leap. and they made it. And it drives you. Like, people doubting you drives you. People doubting the Chiefs will drive them. So keep up with the list. Tell them how they're going to be bad. Tell them how they're done. Because you do it every year. And every year, they just go back to the Super Bowl or back to the AFC title game. Again, Mahomes only been a starter 7 years. He's been to 7 AFC title games. No quarterback in the history of the game can say that. Nobody. They're doing things that nobody can say. But when this comes out on August 14th, people are going to be reminded of when it happened. By the way, here's the list on when that's going to come out. As I mentioned, the 14th are the first two episodes. I think it's the 14th. There's one. There's two of them. Episode 1 and 2. Then the 19th is episode 3 and 4. And then August 20th is episode 5 and 6. So you get a double dip of episodes, two episodes a night. But I think you can binge the whole thing. Like, this is binge-worthy. There's a lot of things that aren't. This, I believe, Jacob, is a binge-worthy type of deal. I binged that Joe Montana show. It's been out for a while on Peacock or whatever. It's been out for a while, but it was good, man. I saw a lot of Mahomes in that Montana thing. All the doubt that he had and, you know, people doubting what he could do, and then he just turned things on. But also, I got out, he was a dude, man. Just a guy like people like being around. You know, like Tua has been talking about, you know, Tyreek Hill trying to get in the good graces of his teammates down. He's lost the captaincy. He was a captain for a couple of years in Miami, but he lost that because he said he wanted to go out. He wanted to leave. He wanted to leave that team. And all those guys, he's had to earn their trust back. And he's slowly doing it. But he had to do it. He had to regain their trust. Mahomes has their trust, man. He'll hang out with them, play video games, eat dinner with them. It didn't matter if you're first-round pick, seventh-round pick, or undrafted. It didn't matter. Didn't matter Joe Montana either. He'd grab the lineman and go to have a beer at Bozeman in River Falls, Wisconsin, because that's what he did. People wanted to play for him. And they want to play for people that have that drive and that desire to be great. And people will fall in line with that. But coming up next, I do want to talk about the world of gambling, something Jake and I were talking about, how important it is to sports, whether you want to buy into it or not. We'll talk about that next. Welcome back to After Hours. Jay Binkley, Jacob Mustard, 2-0 Park Northman, going at it for you. By the way, speaking of the text line, from 317, I get a text from a Drew. I think we all know who it is. Joe Burrow is the best quarterback in the league, Bink. Yeah. Go to the Waffle House, Drew. Go to the Waffle House, and we'll discuss this. We'll discuss Mahomes versus him. By the way, I get another text here from the 816. This is a very valuable text because a lot of these just aren't. The text line is great and everything, but it's got its moments. This one's very good. From the 816, Binkley, I was just notified by my beer man. Oktoberfest beer will hit the shelves in a couple weeks. All right, so we got a couple weeks there. That'll be in October. We just heard from Boulevard talking about how Bob's Oktoberfest, what, hitting the shelves tomorrow, right? I mean, I already put it in my phone. Call liquor stores. I can tell you which ones because I don't want people grabbing it. Because they will. Like there's this beer called Kentucky Breakfast out or whatever, you KBS, you put it out there from Founders, and there's truck chasers, man. They'll go chase that beer down. I will not divulge where I'm going to go beer shopping. Like some people do Christmas shopping, some people do shopping. I do all my shopping either at Quick Trip or liquor stores. Like literally for everybody, that's where I go. Because Quick Trip, you get lottery tickets, you know, you tell people I love you this much or not much at all, or you know, you can make somebody rich. But people love lottery tickets, man. They love it. People like to gamble, Jacob. They like to gamble. And you, like me, thinks that gambling is great for the sports world. And it's one of those things that I remember when, you know, when the leagues didn't really embrace gambling, so to say, but the rest of the country started making gambling legal in their states. Like Kansas already has it. Missouri's about to have it. And still you can do some of it now, but it'll be full-on stuff. Coming up this winter. But I remember, like, the NBA grabbed it fast. I remember Adam Silver talking about gambling in the beginning. He said, you know, on a random Tuesday night, if a game's a blowout, like, you're not getting the ratings. But gamblers will watch till the end because there's a reason they'll watch till the end. The over, the unders, point spreads, how many points a guy has or rebounds. I mean, it matters. So you keep them captivated the whole time. Why wouldn't you do something that could captivate your audience and give you ratings, which ratings equals money, and they did. And then baseball jumped right onto it, right? And the NFL was kind of slow at it at first, but the NFL was so bad about it. I remember when Tony Romo played, he was speaking at like a fantasy football convention, right? And they deemed that he couldn't do that, like back in the day, because the NFL hadn't embraced it. And the NFL finally embraced it, and he realized, okay, wait a minute. Fantasy football is to a point now where people in Seattle will know who the quarterback is for the Indianapolis Colts. People will know who different players are, running backs, whatever, ad nauseum, because everybody plays it. Not even your hardcore NFL fans, people play fantasy football. How many fantasy football players do you know that are playing at their office or whatever, and they never watch other games? I get texts from my aunts all the time asking about players. They watch the Chiefs games, yeah, but the other players, they want to know about it. They want to know your fantasy teams. And then daily fantasy started coming out, and then NFL's like, all right, we need to be a part of this. It's fun. I mean, Vern does it. He has somebody from the station on each one of his pregame shows giving out their bets, which, by the way, I'm number one in that so far this year. So I finished dead last year. I'm number one this year, and I've had the most appearances. But anyway, that's enough about that. But gambling has brought more action to sports, and you were even telling me that in your sport, because Jacob, like Mac Morey in the mornings, they're big golfers. But not the kind with sticks, the kinds with frisbees. And, you know, believe it or not, every time we've talked about it, the text line fills up with people that go out and play it. You know what? It's an easy, economical thing to go do, and it's fun. But frisbee golf is something you like, and I guess you guys are now entering the fray in the gambling.
Yeah, there's certain limits now. They're only doing bets up to $100 because this is kind of the trial season of gambling in disc golf. And I mean, it's been good so far. There's been a couple, the lines that I've noticed have been like dead on. But they're using information from StatKeepers and stuff.
Yeah, you know the players.
Yeah, and like I put a couple of sheets in, and one of the ones that I ended up winning, you know, I'm just placing small bets. I'm doing $5 bets, and this was at the PCS Open in Finland. They went out, they're in overseas playing right now. Rachel Turton, worse than 5.5. And so they do like placements. So where you expect her line was 5.5, she finished in 7th. And Paige Pierce, better than 7.5, she finished in 6th. Where can you bet on these things at? What'd you say?
Where can you bet on these things at?
They do DraftKings and Underdog.
Oh, DraftKings and Underdog.
So those are the two main ones. And then they have their own. And there was Anakin Steen, better than 8.5, which I hammered, and she finished 2nd. And it's like one of her home country like tournaments, and you have her line at 8.5, and it was just kind of a no-brainer.
It's good for all sports, man. Get people a rooting interest to watch it.
It keeps you entertained.
Money on the line. Remember when sports shut down for a while with COVID, like there was no sports? You know, people are actually gambling on the weather. Like seriously, they'd bet like Houston, is it higher or lower than 80? You know what I mean? The temperature. I mean, people had to find something to do. I mean, it increases your ratings. Again, whether you love it or hate it, these leagues have embraced it because it brings in ratings. People have a little skin on the game. They like it. It gives them something to root for. Even in a game you may not have any interest in watching. Like, I'm sure a lot of people bet on the Super Bowl. Well, they do because it's the most bet on thing we have. That they hate the Chiefs or whatever, but they bet on it because that's what you do. If the Chiefs weren't, like, you throw bets out there for the Bengals and the Rams in the Super Bowl. You know, it's just something to do. It's something in the game to do. Something that gives you a reason to watch. Random baseball games. You've been talking about the Phillies Red Sox tonight. You know, Royals are done, not playing tonight, play this afternoon. You know, hey, feel a little bit lucky. It's like college football gamblers that always gamble on the Hawaii game because it was always the last game of the night, so you could either catch up, put it that way, on the Hawaii game late at night.
Well, and yeah, like you said, you can place it on anything. I couldn't even really watch the FPO play because they play in the mornings, which in the time zone conversion was at like 3 a.m. for our time zone. The MPO started playing at about 7 to 9 a.m., and it's like, okay, I could watch the MPO, but I'll wake up, I'll check my bets first thing in the morning. I'll see how they're doing, how they look. And it's just, it's another thing to keep an eye on. Like you said, it drives attention, and it's the next thing in disc golf to step.
Why not?
To publicity.
Any sport should embrace this to get viewership. You want people to watch it, and you want them to gamble up. But not only that, you want them to watch the whole game. I mean, that's the key. Even if it's a, you know, blowout, you still watch it. Again, all these things do matter to certain people. It does matter, that final score, a lot of times, or what players are doing or being pulled. By the way, I just got an email from K-State. I didn't put two and two together. I knew when the game was, August 23rd, their first game against, in week zero against Iowa State. That's exactly 1 month from the day, man. 1 month from the day college football gets going. Kansas plays that day too. 1 month, man. We're here. Actually, when training camp began with the Chiefs, it's kind of like, all right, we're here. And then one thing about it is, it's like spring training baseball. You can't wait for it to start, and then you can't wait for the first preseason game. And then once that happens, like, training camp's fun at first, novelty, but you want it to hurry up and get over and get to the preseason. And then once preseason starts, you can't wait to get rid of preseason and get to the regular season, you know? And 1 month, college football, man. 1 month. Drew Nixon, I know he's listening. He better be rolling out. I think he's rolling out a new podcast this week. He does one every week, college football. 249 miles of college football podcast. It's good stuff, man. It'll get you juiced and ready for action, man. Get it right here at 435 Podcast Network on Odyssey. But yeah, man, we have real football in a month. Because that tides us over till the NFL gets rocking. And then all of a sudden, it's both. It's Saturday, college football. Sunday, pro football. Well, we have pro football Thursday now, too. And every Sunday night, you name it. But anyway, it is a glorious time. Then we get to around October, and you have football straight for like 26 straight weeks, something like that, with either college football or pro football. And even, you know, throw in the playoff games and stuff like that, how you have football every single week. Like, we're here, man. Do your honeydews now. Do your honeydews now. If you need to get married, do it now. Even though I know two coworkers are getting married during college football season, they're going to get a toaster. But, yeah, get all that stuff done now. That date you've been waiting on, do it now. Friday and Saturday night, she wants to go out, do it now. And then put it in your back pocket and remind her when in October and she wants to go out, say, hey, you remember that night in July? Do you remember when we went out like five straight weeks in the summer? Like, put it in your back pocket, man. Use that for later. I've never been a big scoreboard guy and stuff, but keep a scoreboard on that, because it's shutdown time for a lot of people once football starts here in a month. Complete shutdown. Friday nights, Saturday nights, you name it, it's shutdown time. So get that stuff done now. Guys, you still got time. I mean, we're not to August yet. You still got a few weeks to go out to dinner and all this love crap. Do all this now before stuff gets real. As I mentioned, the text line's letting me know when all the beer releases are. This is a really good thing to know. It's like, I always heard that Andy, I think Jeff Schwartz put it on Twitter or something at some point, that Andy Reid knew when the ribs were the freshest and which restaurants had them. And I always wanted to ask him about that. So I think it was the Honey Badgers. Speaking of the Honey Badgers press conference, when he signed with the Chiefs, I was sitting down there and I looked up there. Andy was up there and I said, is that true? Is that story that I heard true? And he said, yeah. Like, he knows it. Like, I feel this way with these beer releases for Oktoberfest now that the text line has been so grateful. Forever great textures by letting me know this information. When the great Oktoberfest beers are going to be rolling out to the different liquor stores. And as I said, got on my phone, reminder. I have a ranking for everything. Liquor stores I have a ranking for as well. They will be notified tomorrow. And I will do my beer shopping because I got to get ready for football season. I got to get beer planned out for college football and pro football and everything else. I need to start stockpiling because, yeah, it's coming up soon. But anyway, guys, do the love crap now. Do it now, because here in about a month, it's game time, brother. Mahomes said something at practice that I found very interesting in his in kind of a post-practice press conference. Let's bring that up next. Welcome back. Final segment. Yes, I know the game is in Dublin, Ireland for Iowa State and K-State. And by the way, 816 says, Binkley, please say it on the radio to Drew. Cincinnati sucks. There you go, Drew. Suck on that, man. Text line wants me to remind you of your failures. Sign your first-round pick, Shamar Stewart, the only first-round pick not signed. It happens to be a Bengal. Oh, Trey Hendrickson's led the NFL in sacks for the last 2 years. Did last year, and then he was second the year before. Is signed, but he's not happy with his contract, so he's down in Florida now because he's mad at the Bengals. The Bengals were last year when they drafted Amarius Mims. That was the last first-round pick signed was from the Natty. So, yes, Drew getting lots of love. And by the way, and I'll bring it up again, but Drew has not been in the Waffle House, and that should be shameful enough right there. But anyway, Mahomes at camp had this to say about, well, it's a lot like we heard last year, but keeping guys healthy is a big difference. It's what he says that they've been doing at camp.
Yeah, I think that for me, I got to be better at throwing the ball down the field. I mean, obviously, that we weren't good enough there. We've had success in prior years, but these last few years, we haven't done that. And in order for our offense to be great, you have to be able to complete those passes. It opens up everything else. And so if teams are going to challenge us at the line of scrimmage, if teams are going to challenge us, throw the ball deep, we have to show that we can do that. And if we can do that, it first starts with me and giving guys chances. But if we can do that, I think it's going to really open up the offense and make us a better team in general.
There you heard it. You've seen it. Throwing the ball downfield. Keep this in mind. The Chiefs were second to last year in passes, air yards, 25 yards or more. Yeah. That way, six of them last year, 25 yards or more. And, of course, that's a byproduct for not having time to throw because left tackle was a revolving door and the fact, well, and guys dropped it all the time. That was another big thing. And your number one and number two receiver were hurt. All these things kind of added up into the equation on why they weren't able to do it. But these things are great. This was the St. Joe Chiefs you thought you'd see last year. I can't wait to see it. They've always found a way, and this is what they've done. They've always found a way to kind of reinvent themselves and who and what they are. Because we've seen the 15th scoring defense last year, 15th the year before, first the year before, fourth the year before that. We've seen it change. We've seen the defense change. When they won back-to-back Super Bowls here against Eagles and Niners, they were number two in the NFL in sacks. They slipped 18th this past year, tied with Buffalo. But the change, I'm not expecting it this year. I'm expecting a huge sack season for Karlaftis. I think he gets a career high. I have 12 for my number for him. 10.5 is his career high. I have 12 for that. I think it's a put up or shut up year for Felix. And I really like the draft picks in Ashton Chalati. And Norman Lott knows how to get to the quarterback as well from the defensive line position, be rotated in that defensive line. And I can't wait to see it because he did lead in the time that he played because he would start very rarely or not at all and come in and be a huge piece for the Tennessee Volunteers, but he led the nation in quarterback sack percentage from what he was doing when he ran to the quarterback. So there's a rhyme and a reason for what they're doing, but yeah, I'm looking forward to all that. But spreading the ball downfield, when you hear that, yeah, I love that, man, because they've got the horses to do it. You've got Thornton's a 4-2-8 guy. You've got Xavier Worthy, 4-2-1 guy. You've got Hollywood Brown that's a 4-2-8 guy. You can do it, man. Just block for him, man. Just block for him. That's what we need. Jacob Mustard, always appreciate you, buddy. It's fun working with you.
Yeah, always fun. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks, text line, for letting me know when the beers are going to be released at various places. I really appreciate it. I'm being honest. I really appreciate that. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow night.